This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
Hello, welcome back to Victory is Assured. I'm Kurt Owen. Thank you so much for tuning in. We've been talking about knowing and believing the love that God has for us. And there, we have covered so much. I do please ask you to go to KurtOwen.com, KURTOWEN.com, and listen to everything that came before here, especially since today, really, I'm going to be recapping something because we've read a lot of scripture in one particular area here with Mephibosheth, and I'm going to break it down into a practical example. But the truth of the matter is there is so much that we could say and have said, you need to listen to it again and again. And you can do that at KurtOwen.com. Also, thank you very much for becoming partners. You make it possible not only for God to enrich you and for God to get resources to you, but you also make it possible for us to do the same with people all over the world. Now, we've been talking about knowing and believing the love of God. There is a difference because it's not enough to know about the love of God. You've got to believe it. One of the things I found about believing is that you got to kind of have an expectation, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? And so in order for you to have faith in the love of God, you should have a pretty good idea of what can expect. And so we looked at Jesus and how he acted towards people that had sinned and had gotten messed up, so that you could see how you could expect Jesus to treat you. And a lot of people were surprised by that. And now we started to look at the kindness of God that we saw in Ephesians chapter 2, that God desired to be kind to you. And then we saw in Isaiah that he was looking forward to the day that Jesus would come and that his kindness would not depart from us, neither shall his goodness be removed from us, right? So we want to ask the question, well, so what does the kindness of God look like? What exactly does that function? And so we're here in Second Samuel chapter 9. And I'm going to do it a little bit different because I've been teaching on a lot of this verse by verse. I'm going to go down through this and I'm going to read the entire thing, and then I'm going to put it in kind of a modern setting, and then we're going to apply it to the New Testament, okay? And we're going to do all that in the next 10 minutes. So it said, "Now David said, is there anyone who is left in the house of Saul, that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when he had called him to David, the king said to him, 'Are you Ziba?' And he said, 'At your service.' And then the king said, 'Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I might show the kindness of God?'" Now, I'm going to stop here because this is important. Everything we're about to get into is the way that God shows kindness. And David learned this from God himself. And so if this is what the kindness of God looks like, then you should expect this kindness. So anyway, it says, he said to them, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame at his feet. Remember, Jonathan was told that David was going to try to kill him in order to consolidate the throne. And in that emergency evacuation, He fell, got dropped, and he broke his back, so he couldn't walk. And so David said to him, "Where is he?" Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Yamel, in Lodabar." Then the king David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Yamel, in Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, and he fell on his face and prostrated himself, then David said, "Mephibosheth?" In other words, are you Jonathan's son? Are you the one? And he said, "Here is your servant." David said to him, "Do you not fear, for I am surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake. I will restore to you all of the land of Saul your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." And then he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?" And then the king said to Ziba, Saul's servant, he said, "I have given your master's son all that belonged to Saul and all that of his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land, and you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And Ziba said to the king, according to all that the Lord king has commanded his servant, so your servant will do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat bread at my table as one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were the servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, and he ate at the, continually at the king's table, and he was lame at both of his feet. Now, that's the story, 2 Samuel chapter 9. Actually, it's the whole chapter. Let's break it down into this, okay? I want to bring this to you in a very real way. And I started in on this last week, so you'll forgive me, because I really feel like I need to explain it a little bit better. So you were born into a wealthy family. Your grandfather had money. Your dad was a pretty good guy. And your dad had some good friends. He had the respect of some people. Well, in the course of events, your grandfather and your dad died, and you lost everything. All right. And so you end up messed up in life, right? And you've heard that everybody that was supposedly friends of your dad's, they're actually were your dad's enemies. And they might even be looking for you right now to sue you, to bring some things out. And one of those people might happen to be, say, Warren Buffett, who for several different times in life has been the richest man in the world, okay? And so one day you see a limo pull up outside, and a bunch of men come out, and because they've heard that you might have been being held prisoner. And so they show up, and they're like, yeah, we're here for the young man, and they're here for you. And you think they're there to bring you to the place they can sue you and do bad, but you find out because they're with Warren Buffett. And so they bring you out, and you think, wow, they found me, everything's over. They take you to the airport. There's a private plane waiting. It's a 747. And they fly you, and they're treating you real well, but you still think you're on the way to your destruction. So you walk into Warren Buffett's office, and you're terrified. Man, he's going to take everything I've got. And instead, Warren says, are you your daddy's son? I am, but I'm just a dog. You're not a dog to me, boy. I love your daddy. I had the utmost respect for him. In fact, I brought you here because I heard you lost everything, and so I'm restoring to you everything that you've lost. In fact, I'm giving you a $1 billion for the rest of to take care of you. But you know, son, money's a thing that you got to learn to take care of, and you know you haven't had a lot, so this is what I'm going to do. But I'm going to bring in Ziba, this accountant we have, and he's actually going to handle the money for you, and he's going to make sure that this money grows and harvests. But you know what? I don't want you to ever have to touch that money. You leave that to your kids. This is what I want from you. I want you to move in with me, and I'm going to treat you like you're my child. And Ziba's going to grow your money, but you're never going to have to trust your own resources. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to do this every day. And from now on, you are no longer fatherless. You are now have a father. I'm going to be your father, boy and or girl, and I'm going to bless you. And you'll never have to touch your own money again. You're going to eat off of my resources. Now think about it. If you had nothing, you'd have been grateful just to be brought out of where you had to live with somebody else like Mephibosheth was. You'd have been grateful just to have the $1 billion. But you kept being blessed. No, it's not enough just to have this. Now I'm going to do this for you. And now remember, he spent lots of money to get you to the place to be able to do this for you. Now let's bring it into the New Testament example. You had nothing to offer the Father at all, but he loved you. And so he paid a price to bring you out of the bondage that you were in, Jesus. And Jesus said, Father, I want you to treat them the way that you treat me. So when you walked into the throne room, the Father had one question for you. Are you Jesus's? Do you belong to him? And when you say yes, he says to you, I didn't come bring you in here to take from you. I brought you in here to load you up with blessings, to give you the very best, to give you all that I have. But that's not enough. You're going to need some wisdom in order to handle this. So you know what I'm doing? I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to live and dwell on the inside of you, to be a counselor to you, to be wisdom to you. And then now, I just want you to know, as much as I have blessed you, I'm going to continually pour out to you. Because from this point forward, I'm going to treat you the way that I treat Jesus. You are now my child. And I'm going to love you, and I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to look after you. And if you've heard that I just wanted to victimize you and I was somehow looking to mess up your life, that's not why I was looking for you. I was looking for you to bless you, to do good to you. Now understand something. All of this blessing, all of this restoration, all of these resources, all of these blessings was not about anything you did. It was about the Father's love for you and whether you could answer one question. Are you His? Are you Jesus? See, when he asked Mephibosheth, wasn't the question. He was asking this question, are you Jonathan's son? Because if the answer is yes, that is the only thing necessary to qualify you for every blessing that I'm about to pour out to you. Absolute restoration, wisdom to handle the blessing, and then continual provision as my child. And you only have to answer one question. Are you Jesus's? This is the kindness of God. He does not look to take from you. He wants to give to you. And you want to know what? You don't have to earn it. You just have to be able to answer one question. Are you His? Do you belong to Jesus? And if the answer is yes, this is the reason Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will take what is mine and show it unto you. And I say again, all that the Father has is mine. This all belongs to you if you belong to Jesus. You don't have to earn it, but you do have to trust in it. God desires to do this for you. You have one question to answer. Are you Jesus's? Michael's going to help you with that right now. And remember, Jesus is risen. Victory is assured.
Kurt Owen wants you to know that God really loves you. He sent his son Jesus as a substitute for you. He took on your sins so you would not have to pay the penalty for sin. He also took on your sickness, disease, and injury so that you would not have to suffer from them. In order for you to receive the benefits of this redemptive power, you simply must accept Jesus as your Savior and make him your Lord. This is an easy and simple thing to do and will have wonderful eternal effects. All you need to do is believe that He is alive and that He loves you. If you want the power of the living God to change your life from the inside out, simply repeat this simple prayer. Jesus, please come into my heart. Please save me. I believe that you are alive and that you love me, and that you gave your life for me. I believe that because I am asking, you are becoming alive in me right now. You are making me a new creation. I give you my old life while I accept your life. I also make you my Lord. I commit to do what you say with the understanding that you will never burden me with things that I cannot do, but rather you lovingly teach me step by step. Holy Spirit, please also come into my life and empower me with the very power of God, the way that Jesus said you would. Father, thank you for giving your Son and making this provision for me, so that now I can actually call you Father. If you have just prayed this prayer, we would like to put a couple of things in your hand so that you will get some help on the path of your new life. Simply email the words, I have been saved, to connect@KurtOwen.com. Everybody in this ministry will continue to pray for you. We all love you. And we all want you to have a wonderful, wonderful life in God. Welcome to the family of God.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has equestrian and